Welcome to today's episode of Watchable
with Bethy Hernandez
and Sophia Ritter.
Two cousins talk movies and TV.
Basically, if it's entertainment related, we got you covered.
Today, we're discussing Enola Holmes.
So, you told me to watch this movie, and I was just like, yeah, sure, whatever. And like what you told me, I was like, okay, you made it sound like it was for kids, and like it was one of those situations where I could tell you were worried to recommend me
something. Yeah.
Like admit that you liked it. And so I didn't know how to feel about it going in.
I definitely did not think you would like it, and I was really shocked when you texted me and you said, oh, I can't stop thinking about it. I really love that. Mm-hmm. And I was like pleasantly surprised because I personally liked it, and I just I could not tell what you'd think about it.
Oh yeah.
Definitely. I didn't even know what I was getting into when I was watching it.
No idea.
I was just bored, and then I saw it was new on Netflix, and I didn't even like notice that it was Millie Bobby Brown. She's grown up so much, and
she has.
And then I noticed that, and I thought, oh, I'll give it a watch because she's a really good actress. Mm-hmm. And I also love like Sherlock Holmes books, movies, and stuff. So I was expecting it to have a similar vibe to all the other Sherlock Holmes things I had watched, and it definitely didn't. So
yeah, we will definitely get into that more later because this is actually my first Sherlock thing I've watched
or
at all. But first, do you have a media pick of the week?
Oh yes, this is maybe my favorite media pick I've done so far.
Oh really? I'm excited.
I'm overhyping it. You know, you watch this. Oh. It's The Great British Baking Show.
Oh yeah, fair. We have done past seasons of this, I think, but gotta always shout out the new season. Pretty sure we have.
Well, there's a new season up, and it is exactly what I needed right now.
Exactly.
The new season is, of course, amazing. They did it during quarantine, so they had to quarantine before being able to be in the tent and whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's just bringing some light into my life. And I like how they release episodes weekly instead of just all at once. Mm-hmm. So I, like, savor it, you know?
Yeah, like a fine British pastry.
Exactly.
Okay, I am kind of waiting to start it until like holiday time. I don't know why, but Abby and I like to watch together, my sister, and she'll be home then. But I always like to know what character you love. It's always kind of like, oh, Bethy also likes this character, and it makes me like instantly fall in love. So is there a character you're instantly attached to yet?
Yes. His name is Peter, and he's from Scotland. I love it because I don't want to spoil anything, but just like the first episode, he won something. And I think it was so funny because his like ears get all red and he's so excited. And I'm like, Peter, yes. Like I'm loving Peter right now. There's also this old man, I think his name is Rowan, and he is absolutely iconic. He wears like the most fabulous outfits ever, but I think I don't know how long he's going to make it, but we love him.
The old men never last long. It's tragic.
No, but they're always the best characters.
They're always so great. I definitely can see myself being excited about Peter in the future. So
yes,
I'll keep an eye out when I do start. not going to lie, didn't do much media consumption in the last 2 weeks. I watched this movie and I loved it. Mm-hmm. And then I watched a bunch of movies for like movie class that I'm taking. And I watched some political debates that I wish never existed. So,
don't we
my
all?
My media pick of the week is, like, kind of weird because I was just a random movie I had to watch. But I thought it was really interesting. It was called A Raisin in the Sun. And it's just really fascinating look at gender.
I've seen that. Surprisingly. Yeah.
Wow. I'm very surprised you have. It's like a very weird.
It's really
movie.
Old, right?
Yeah.
And it's just like on YouTube.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had to watch it because we read it for a class.
Obviously, a lot of it is not aged well, but that's part of the thing when you watch movies from the 60s.
Yeah.
It's just an interesting look at gender. So I thought, I enjoyed that better than most of the movies I've had to watch for that class. Mm-hmm. But that class is really informative, so it'll probably help me in watchable. But
wow,
some movies we watch and there are just the movie we watched this week was called Badass with like five S's. It was interesting, Bethy. I'll just say that I'm not a fan.
I love how you had such like a sophisticated media pick. It was kind of exciting.
Look at me. Never do that. I'm always the one of like the YouTube video or some crap. All right. So I think we covered media pick of the week.
Yeah.
I don't even know where we're starting with this movie because my thoughts are basically just like, yes, yes, I love it. It's so much freaking fun.
That's okay. That's a good thing because I have a little bit of constructive criticism. So we'll kind of balance each other out. But I do want to know what your thoughts were, especially since, like, your first impression was, especially since you have not watched any other Sherlock movies or the TV show or anything, right?
Yeah. I have watched, one or two episodes of the Benedict Cumberbatch show, and I probably like it if I tried it again. I was just bored.
Yeah.
And I'm sure I'm probably the kind of person who'd be obsessed with it. But so I don't know, going into it, I didn't think much of it because there's so many different, I guess I've seen the Robert Downey Jr. version of Sherlock Holmes. And I'm not a huge fan of that version. And I know it's, you get mad at me for that one. Okay. It's just Robert Downey Jr.'s accent. It's just too weird for me.
It's like, good. Like, he has a good accent. Yes, it is good.
But it's just, like, me, I was too into Iron Man at the time. Like, that was when I had just, like, watched all the Marvel movies in preparation of Endgame.
Yeah.
So maybe I need to go back, because I haven't seen the second one even.
I hated the first one. I like the second one better.
Okay.
And
okay. I'll try it.
It's, for me, those movies are special because they're, like, a movie I like to watch with my dad.
Yeah, I hope and your dad's, this isn't the one less episode he listens to, because he'll lose all respect for me.
He probably won't.
Probably.
But no, we love that. We love the Robert Downey Jr. Sherlock movies. I they're not like the most like obviously like technical movies or anything, but it's just fun because they have a lot of action and I think the storylines are really like complex and thought out, which I appreciate. Yeah. But this movie is definitely different from that.
In just comparison to those two, because I honestly completely forgot I'd seen that until like 2 minutes ago. I don't know, the Sherlock Holmes of Robert Downey Jr., and this is an unpopular opinion, and like I realize I am probably wrong. But anyway, the Sherlock Holmes of Robert Downey Jr., the fact that it's like historical, like it's at supposed to be the same time that the books are set in, I found it just kind of boring in those movies. And I know. I haven't seen them in a while either, but it just didn't seem fun. It almost felt like it was holding the story back, the time frame it was set in. And then Enola Holmes, it was just like so much fun because it was a historical piece. And they just like went wild with it. And it was everything I wanted in a historical piece, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, no, I kind of agree with that. I think I like them both, how they deal with like the historical part in different ways. I feel like the Robert Downey Jr. version of Sherlock is a lot more dark. It's a lot darker look at that era, whereas Enola Holmes is kind of like a romanticized fun look at that era.
For sure.
And I feel like it's not as central to like the vibes that the movie gives off in the Robert Downey Jr. version.
Yeah. And then
for Enola Holmes, it really like sets the tone. And, like, the colors they're using in it and stuff.
Yeah. That's part of, I think, you hit a note for why I think I liked how they used it so well. Is because from the very first shot, it's very much a fun and different movie. And you're supposed to expect that. And how they used time and everything was just emphasizing the fun themes of it. So, yeah. You do this a lot, but you made me realize why I thought the way I thought. So...
Yes. One thing I wanted to talk about before we jump into characters. This movie was a lot more, it was centered for younger audiences, it felt like.
Yeah, yeah.
And definitely. I was not expecting that. I thought it was going to be maybe a little bit darker, mm-hmm. you know? And I think it had a good balance, but it seems like a movie I would have probably been obsessed with had I been a little bit younger, you know? Or it seems like it was mm-hmm. just targeted for a certain age. But my mom, I told her I liked this movie, and she watched it, and she loved it. So, I mean, obviously, there's not no certain age to watch a movie. I still love the movie, but I just was not expecting it to be, like, young adult mm-hmm. kind of type movie.
I think part of the reason you had more of a, you viewed it more as a young adult movie, and it definitely is more aimed towards that audience, mm-hmm. is because of you do have more of a past experience of Sherlock.
Yeah.
And, like, most of the content is very adult, you know, and they yeah. deal with very adult themes. So, because for me, I didn't, it felt like a family movie, but it didn't really feel like, I didn't feel immature at all watching it or, like, loving it. Mm-hmm. I didn't really feel like I was the wrong target demographic when I was watching it, but I was, you had warned me that you thought it was young. And mm-hmm. so I knew what I was getting into, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're bringing up a good point. Because when I suggested it to my mom, she didn't even, like, think about how it seemed like it was for younger audiences. But when I suggested mm-hmm. it to my dad, he was talking, like, I don't think he had as good of a reaction to it because he's used to the other Sherlock movies. So it's probably why mm-hmm. I'm feeling that way about it. It's just, I definitely liked the movie. It's just something that I noticed right off the bat. And I didn't feel, yeah. like, immature watching it or anything. I just felt like it wasn't targeted for teenagers. And I think people mm-hmm. our age, it didn't yeah, feel yeah. like it was targeted for that. And I think a lot of movies that are made now are. That makes yeah. sense.
We actually, because we are by far, sorry, I'm going into a fact that you didn't ask for, but I know it for some reason. We are by far the top consumers at the box office and by far the top, like, money spenders at the box office, our age demographic, like 18 to 24.
Yeah.
It's like 90% of the box office or something crazy like that. So yeah, most movies are made for our age group and it can be annoying if you're not in our age group. So
yeah.
So let's, before we move into characters, I want to finish up, like, comparing it to other mm-hmm. iterations of Sherlock and Holmes and stuff. So have you read the books? I think you have.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So this is something I kind of want to talk more about when we're going to the character of Sherlock.
Mm-hmm.
himself.
Yeah.
But let's just say the way they portrayed, like, Sherlock was a lot different from the books and mm-hmm. other representations I've seen. So that kind of is one of my
mm-hmm.
not so favorite parts about this movie.
Fair. Okay, so if you have to rank Benedict Cumberbatch, Robert Downey Jr.'s and this Sherlock, I know this one's very different from those two, but where do you put it in your head if you can't even compare them?
Well, it's hard because they're all different mm-hmm. because the Robert Downey Jr. one stays true to the, like, time period and it's very, like, action mm-hmm. adult movie, you know? And then the Benedict Cumberbatch BBC Sherlock is set modern time and it's a lot more BBC feeling to it, yeah. you know?
Yeah,
And then this has a total, like, lighthearted, fun mm-hmm. adventure feel to it. And so I don't think I could rank them. And also at certain times in my life, I was more obsessed with one or the other type yeah, of things. Yeah. I don't know. I can't rank them because they're so different. And I don't, yeah, like, feel the fair. Need to rank them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It just depends on what mood I'm in to watch, like, which one exactly. to watch.
And I think you kind of made a good point of they all basically serve a different purpose.
Yeah.
And they all serve a different story and demographic, so.
Exactly.
It makes sense. So do you want to start talking about characters?
Sure. Do you want to start off with Enola? Just Enola right off the Holmes. Bat?
Yes, let's do it.
Who does this character remind you of? Because something immediately came into mind when I was watching this.
Oh, man. She feels so familiar, but I don't know.
For me, she gives off Anne of Green Gables vibes. Like, Anne with an E vibes.
that is probably why I liked this movie so much.
Yeah.
That makes so much sense. Yeah, I can't believe I didn't think of that. Like, the full... Yeah, they're very similar.
Because they're both very independent, strong-willed main female character, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just get the same vibe. And she also... They both have, like, kind of cheerful outlooks on life, or they just give off kind of a energetic vibe. Not necessarily like cheerful, but, like, energetic.
And, yeah.
And smart and, like, witty, you know?
They just seem like they don't really care about the social norms of their time. They kind of just do what they want to. And
exactly.
Yeah, yeah. That is a great comparison, and it makes a lot of sense why I liked this movie as much as I did, Bethy, let me tell you.
I actually went and rewatched the first episode of Anne with an E today because I was just, like, I needed that in my life.
You need to pick me up. It's the perfect thing.
Yeah. Anyways, what were you saying?
Okay, so, yeah, I started this movie literally having no idea what it was about. You're just like, I think you'll like it. It's kind of for a younger demographic. And I'm like, whatever. I have nothing there to do on Saturday. So it took me like 10 seconds to be obsessed with this movie. Like,
yeah.
As soon as she like turns to the camera, I was just like, this is fun and it's going to be creative and they're just going to have a blast of it. Like, it was seriously instant that I loved Enola. And like, Millie Bobby Brown, this is obviously a very different character from other things I've seen her in, but she's just like brings such a fun and enthusiastic instant, like, I don't know what's the word, like, euphoria to her character.
Yeah,
it's just, you instantly feel her curiosity, and I don't know how to explain it.
She's really good in this character, and I feel like the writing for this character is really good, because normally a character talking directly to the screen kind of like, I'm kind of have mixed feelings
it's
about
hard
it
for an actor to pull that one off.
Yeah, but she pulled it off well, and if she hadn't, then I wouldn't have liked it as much, but she pulled it off so well. I loved that, and she's a really good actress, and she was perfect for the role.
Honestly, you have to have like just an insane amount of confidence and just like showmanship to be able to like break a scene basically and turn directly to a camera and be like blah da da, like talking to the audience, like that is not an easy thing to do, and she does it so flawlessly that it just seems so freaking fun and exciting and different. And I don't know, that was one of my favorite things about the movie, is how they use that, because it so easily could have been horrible, but it just wasn't. It just made the full storytelling so much better. And I don't, it's kind of like a replacement to a voiceover. And the voiceover, it serves a good point, but it is so overdone and boring sometimes. And it's
exactly,
we all know it as a writer's cop out. And like, this is not a writer's cop out. This is way harder to bring into a scene, and they managed to do everything they needed to with it. So I just think it was a really cool device they used.
It definitely added to the story instead of like taking away from it or anything. It like made it the movie something different than what we've seen before, you know? Another thing I wanted to talk about with Enola is I loved how she had action scenes. And
good action scenes.
Made me so happy, because I was watching, every time I watch a movie and a boy is the main character and he has tons of action scenes and like saves the day all the time, and I just always think, I wish I could see a girl doing the same thing, because I rarely see that in movies. And if I do, it's a superhero movie. And like, okay, so they can only be cool if they have superpowers. But no, Enola kicks some butt, literally like has action scenes with an adult, and does this all while wearing like a corset and accurate costuming. Like that, to me, that just brought a smile to my face, because that is what I have been waiting for years, to see something like that.
Oh yeah, yeah, I definitely get what you mean, because what's her love interest name, how do you say it,
Tewksbury or something,
Tewksbury, thank you, I was not gonna get there. So her and Tewksbury have a few action scenes, and in some scenes she's the one who kicks butt, in some scenes he's the one who kicks butt. It's more her than him. Mm-hmm. But what I love about how well they like manage the action between the two, it was felt so much more unexpected because they were breaking so many tropes about action and females that you didn't know what way they were going to go. And you're like, oh, they're not going to have him save her. But sometimes they did. And, like, it made the story better because of how unexpected it was.
It felt realistic. Mm-hmm. Like, she also wasn't perfect and, like, could, like, save the day every time. Like, it was actually realistic. So satisfying to watch.
I don't love the movie Captain Marvel. Because, I don't know.
I was about to bring that up.
But, like, it's almost like the MCU felt too bad about being horrible to women for a long time.
That they overcompensated and made it worse.
Well, I know there's literal gods in Marvel, but, like, she's a little, I don't know.
They made her unbeatable, which is also, like, almost worse because then no one can relate to her or look up to her because you're like, oh, Captain Marvel can just do anything now? Okay, cool, like... Like, she can still be a strong character and make mistakes.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know?
Mm-hmm. Just a little bit more dimensional would have been nice in her. And it's kind of, we kind of got that more in Enola, ironically.
Exactly. So.
Another action scene that I loved with her, as long as we're talking about this kind of thing, is when she was wearing, like, the corset. And was it stabbed or shot? I think she got shot.
I think, oh, I was going to say stabs. Either one.
That it, but, I like, literally have no idea now. But, like, the fact that it, like, saved
it
her.
It saved her.
Oh, gosh. It was so also, much fun.
Like, so many movies have bad representations of, like, corsets. And I've, as you know, I watch historical, like, fashion YouTube. And what I've learned from that is most historical fashion experts hate it when movies hate on corsets and act like they were, like, the worst thing ever.
Really?
Because they actually weren't that uncomfortable, and they actually serve their purpose really well, you know? And I like how this movie shows how you can be, like, feminine and how you wear corsets, and it can save the day. Like, it's literally, like, you know?
Yeah, like... That is really interesting. I did not know that, actually. Yeah.
You know how pretty much, like, any movie you watch that's, like, historical, they have a scene where a woman is being, like put into a corset and is being tugged, and she's like, oh, this hurts so much. Apparently, that's not accurate, according to the YouTubers I've watched.
That is super interesting, because, like, obviously I see the problems of corsets.
Yeah.
And I think that's why we, like, show them so negatively, but it's interesting to hear stuff like that.
Yeah, it's interesting how they just took a different well, in parts of the movies they also kind of use that whole corset trope, but in that part it's kind of interesting to see that different perspective on it.
That is actually really interesting. I had no idea about that, Bethy.
I feel like I'm going off on random tangents tonight, and I apologize to anyone who has to listen to me, like, and say something interesting, and then it goes into a meaningless thought.
We never manage to go on a tangent. Like, so go... like, our tangents are still about the movie we're talking about, Bethy.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, is there anything else we want to touch on with Enola before we move on?
I don't think so. I think we both loved her character, so...
Yeah, basically. If I had any problems with the movie, it wasn't her. So
exactly.
I have no idea who I want to do next, so who do you want to do next?
Next on my list, I have Eudora, which I think that's her mom's name.
Yeah, it is.
Okay. So, I have interesting thoughts about her character, because at first, I loved her, and I thought she was really cool, and I like how Enola was, like, brought up a different way, but that didn't mean it was, like, the wrong way to be brought up, and I loved how her mom was working for, like, women's rights and stuff, but then... At the end, it felt really weird that
she
didn't tell her daughter what she was going to do, and she just left her daughter. I think that's kind of messed up. And then the fact that Enola was like, it's fine. I understand. It's for the cause. Even if it's for the cause, it's kind of a jerk move.
You don't do that.
Yeah.
Sorry. You don't. Yeah, because I did like her mother originally, and I liked the mystery held around her mother. I thought all that was done well, and it really, that sequence at the beginning of her childhood really helped to characterize who Enola was and why she acted the way she does and why she made the decision she does. So that full sequence was done really well. Okay, I want to ask you something.
Yeah.
Do you think that last scene with her mother was even necessary?
Honestly, no. Because that took more away from her mother's character for me. Because it made me see her as, I don't know, almost just being rude for leaving Enola like that. And
right?
And before, I liked her mother's character, and I thought it was at least interesting. And if they would have almost left it kind of unknown, would have been more satisfying, because it was more about Enola's, like, journey and, like, her and her relationship with Sherlock, like, making, like, you know, and her discovering more about herself on her own.
It was kind of an age movie, honestly.
Yeah. Than just getting validation from her mother. Like, that seemed kind of dumb.
Yeah. So, when I watched the movie, I kind of felt like it was a second ending. Like, it was the movie could have ended before that and it would have been better. Like, I get that the full movie, the mystery, and it's a Sherlock movie, is about, like, her finding her mother.
Yeah.
I think they could have left it off with a note or something like that, or, like, her voice, like, saying, like, she doesn't really care anymore, you know, something like that. Like, some way of just her resolving the issue would have been better, because that scene almost felt like, I don't know, the scene with, is it, like, in the square with the mouse thing? The porcupine?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I almost think that was a better ending scene. And, like, I like when movies make you question a little bit at the end. So
makes you question, and it leaves you thinking about her relationship with her mother.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, honestly, that is my biggest critique of this movie, is I felt like it had two endings. And that bugs me a little bit.
Honestly, that was one of my biggest critiques about this movie, is just her mother's character towards the end.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about Tewksbury or Sherlock next?
Ooh, I don't know. I want to talk about one of them, but you pick.
Okay. Sherlock's written down first on my list, so we'll just do that.
Nice.
I already talked about this a little bit before, but the portrayal of Sherlock in this movie is just so different from the books, even. Like, he has emotions, and, like, he smiles. And in the books, he's, like, completely emotionless and insensitive and doesn't care about things. He barely cares about John Watson in the books, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that he, like, is so loving towards his sister, I'm like, what is this? And I know that you kind of get that sense that he wasn't there for her as, like, a kid and stuff. But it just still felt not quite like the right Sherlock characterization. I don't know. I would be fine with the same ending of them kind of, like, forgiving, like, her forgiving him, basically, if it would have started off with him as acting a little bit more distant from her. I don't know. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, yeah. So I have a question.
Yeah.
So in the book, is Mycroft, is he distant as well, or is he more of, like, an emotional one if Sherlock has, like, no emotions in the book?
I don't remember a lot about him in the book, but I think in the book he's a little bit, I think the movie does a good job of using his character. And I think in the book he's a little bit, like, stuck up, you know. And I think but it's implied that he's a little bit more emotion-filled.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And sorry, another thing that just came to mind. I think it's weird that they don't include anything to do with John Watson. Like,
yeah.
That'd be, like, interesting. Like, I want to see that. Like, I want
to
see... I
don't know, they left it open to sequels, though, so...
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Or just, like, that, yeah. The ending implied that, yeah.
Yeah.
Who knows, though? I just felt like having maybe, like, a John Watson character who's like, Sherlock, why would you do this to your sister? Like, don't be a jerk.
Yeah,
like,
you need good.
Like, I would love that. Mm-hmm. Instead of having Mycroft, who's just like obviously the like annoying character that you hate and who has bad intentions, mm-hmm. and who's like dumb and like sexist, like, yeah, instead of, yeah, like because we get the point with that. They could have made Sherlock almost more like that in the beginning and then had him develop, yeah, and then that's instead of had, I don't know,
that's an interesting point because I never would have thought of that.
Mm-hmm.
I personally didn't have any problem with how they portrayed Sherlock,
yeah,
because I haven't watched anything of Sherlock, but like all the points you made, because I personally really enjoyed his character, but all the points you made make 100% sense to me. And yeah, especially I think that it could have been interesting to see that kind of perspective of more of like Watson and Sherlock coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it would have been nice to see someone like urging Sherlock, being like making him question it instead of it, yeah, just seeing like all of a sudden he had a heart.
Because that's how it is more so in the books. Mm-hmm. Like when Sherlock shows emotion in the books, it's because of something John Watson did, or like, you know, because, mm-hmm, they have like a bond, and like in the books the only times he shows emotions is when he's like with him, and I think it would make more sense for the character I'm used to.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
at the same time, I didn't think this was a huge problem because the movie was still good, and it was more about Enola in the first place.
Yeah, it was an Enola show.
So it didn't like bother me that much, but that's just one of, mm-hmm, the like bigger criticisms I can think of.
Yeah, and I think those are all valid. Like, mm-hmm, I enjoyed how, because you know, not a huge Sherlock person, I enjoyed how they did it, but I definitely see how it could have been done really well. Hearing what you think could have improved it. So
yeah,
definitely interesting to think about. I think we can honestly kind of skip Mycroft because we basically summed it up.
Just talked about it.
He's kind of bland,
basic, there, annoying character.
Yeah. Let's talk about
Tewksbury.
Tewksbury. I'll never remember how to say that one. It's spelled so weird.
I know. half the time in the movie, I could not tell what she was saying. Mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, that guy. I have some thoughts, but I don't know if you'd agree with me or not.
All right.
I think I really liked his character because, mm-hmm, I think he's a good example of like not toxic masculinity, because he's like vulnerable and he needs help from Enola. Like he asks her for help and like begs her to help him, yeah, basically. And I like how she is the one who has to save him sometimes, but I also like how he can save her when she needs help. Like, I like that about his character. And I thought, yeah, anyways, before I go like further into that, just wondering what your initial thoughts are.
I mean, I honestly haven't given his character that much thought, so I think those are great points, and I 100% agree with you. And it definitely makes me think about more of how they portrayed Enola's, like, feminine side and how, mm-hmm, like, we have him not having toxic masculinity, basically. Mm-hmm. And she also has to learn to accept her own, like, femininity and how it can, like, help her. So, in a weird way, he kind of helped her do that, too. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a good point.
It's, I don't know, I really appreciated that about this movie. Mm-hmm. My one question for you is what you thought about the kind of romance between them, because it never turned fully into a thing. The most, mm-hmm, we got was like a hug out of them, and it was like, but it kind of seemed like they're hinting at like romance. Mm-hmm. And I just wonder your thoughts on that.
Yeah, the fact we got a hug out of them is definitely the most aimed towards younger audiences, yeah, thing in the movie, I think. This is yet another way they're very similar to Anna Green Gables with, mm-hmm, Gilbert. It gave, yeah, me very similar Gilbert vibes. Like, he's a very similar character.
Because
Gilbert has a soft side, but he's also kind of cool and mysterious.
Like, yeah.
Personally, I didn't really have a lot of faults with him. I thought their relationship was cute, and I thought it was cool to see her realize that, like, you can have a healthy relationship that And it's, like, a cool thing just to see in cinema at all. Like, you can have a healthy relationship that doesn't define you. It can just, like, be another aspect to you.
It doesn't mean you're not independent. You're not a...
That's what I meant.
A woman who can think on her own and make her own decisions. Mm-hmm. It just means that they're, like, you care about someone and you can...
Exactly.
I like that. That's kind of one of the main messages of the movie, too.
Is there any other characters you want to touch on? Because that's all the ones I had written down.
No, that's all I had written down. I just wanted to mention the character of Edith. She was, like, the self-defense instructor lady who had the little coffee shop.
Mm-hmm.
I liked her character, and I liked her line, and that I just want to talk about this one line she has.
Okay.
When Sherlock is like, I'm not involved in politics. And she's like, you don't care about politics because the system works for you. So why would you want to change it? But it doesn't work for everyone else. And I'm like, queen. Yes. Because that's so relevant right now. Like, so relevant. And I really liked that line. And I think, now that I think about it, her character kind of almost replaced that, like, Watson character for Sherlock.
Oh,
not quite, but she played that role that I would have expected Watson to play in it. She, like, keeps him in check and gives him that advice. Obviously not the same, but I
not
like...
Not quite the same level, but yeah.
So I kind of like that, definitely get what you actually. Mean. I like that they have... I don't know. But they needed someone to give him a reality check, and she did. So
that was definitely a cool way they bridged storylines together, because that easily could have felt like a character, like a, not a character, a plot point, and like she was nothing more than a plot device, but it felt natural, and she felt like her character and her like life experiences, not life experience, her like emotions, there you go, like played a part in the movie and justified her existing, so.
Yeah. We actually had a lot to unpack there about the characters. That was kind of fun.
I know. We actually had a long conversation, Bethy.
What's crazy.
And if you haven't watched Anne of Green Gables and you like Anne with an E on Netflix and you like this movie, you will definitely like Anne with an E.
Oh, yes.
Please watch Anne with an E. So many similarities. It's so much fun, just like this movie.
And it has, like the bright vibes, like the cheerful vibe.
Basically, to sum it up, this movie for me, my watchable experience, whatever, is I didn't expect that fun, uplifting of a movie. And when I watched it, it was just exactly what I needed for my soul that was so tired of old men yelling at each other and people yelling at each other. It was a nice balm for your soul. And that's why I strongly recommend this movie.
I also strongly recommend this movie. It wasn't what I was expecting because I'm like used to different Sherlock interpretations.
Which
and I
fair.
Feel like it came across as a little negative when I was talking about it a little bit. But I love this movie still. Like, this movie was what I needed too, because school had been stressful. And when I watched it, it was just so cheerful and fun. And I don't know. It's a good movie for all ages too. And I think everyone can learn a little bit from it.
That much. Exactly.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but...
No, you're good. All I'm saying is just, like, you can learn it a lot from it, even if you don't think you would, you know? Because it's defeating those stereotypes in movies that there are for female characters. And I think people need to see that, especially in movies aimed for younger kids. Like, kids need to be seeing this right off the bat.
Right.
Or else they're never going to later on in their lives. So, yeah.
I'm telling you, the generation of girls growing up right now have much better cinema than we had.
I know.
Gosh. Don't know how good you have it as an old 20-year-old lady.
The best we had was the American Girl doll movies. Those were inspiring.
So inspiring. Felicity, like, stole a horse. Couldn't mess with that girl. All right. We'll probably... I don't know what we're doing next time. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
I have a few ideas, but I should run them with you when we're not recording first before we talk about them on a podcast. So
probably.
Stick around. Let us know if you have any ideas for stuff we should cover. We love doing things of this very theme. So check out our episode on Anthony too, because it's just us gushing about Anthony. And recommend more stuff like this for us, because we love it.
And, we really do.
And sorry. Thanks for listening to this episode of Watchable.
This podcast is edited by Sophia. Our music is from purpleplanet.com, and our graphic is by Maria Hernandez.
If you enjoy listening, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. It really helps us out.
Have an idea on what we should review next? Send us a message on Instagram, Twitter, or Tumblr at Watchable Media.
Join us next time for something to happen.
Now go enjoy your day.